The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy's House begins now. All right, I want to put a bow on this wide receiver conversation because I really want to get to the defense. I'm okay with vomit talk. I mean, I'm not okay with food poisoning, which is really the only time that I vomit, knock on wood. Certainly, I'm not grossed out by the wide receiver depth chart. I like the fact that there's a bunch of guys that are engaging and interesting and pretty darn good football players. So I'm not vomiting over that talk. But there was a question that we were texted after I mentioned Rodgers' name because I think about him night and day. We will end up talking about him. No, I don't think about him a lot. If the Jets were on Hard Knocks again, I might. But another night of tonight, we'll get the second round of the Bears on Hard Knocks, and I will be watching. John in Brookfield, you keep talking about how deep the wide receivers are. How would it look different with 12 here? I don't think it would. I mean, I think it would have looked different had he welcomed the youth movement and been fun Uncle Aaron instead of douchey Uncle Aaron and making Romeo Dobbs feel like he didn't talk to him, which, again, I've said this to him directly, so I'm not saying it behind his back. I understand that he felt like he talked to Romeo Dobbs enough, but as a leader, if Romeo Dobbs is saying, I learned a lot from Aaron, even with him barely talking to me, then you didn't talk to him enough because he doesn't feel like you talked to him enough. But I think he'd be spreading the ball around. The question would be, if they had these guys and Devontae, how this would look. And then I think the answer is different. But he proved during your time playing with him that he would throw to the open JerMichael or the open Jordy or the open Cobb or the open James Jones or Greg Jennings. There was a bevy. They stocked the cupboard then, and they've done it again. The problem is that during the Adams era, they didn't. And I still wish we had who gave us the grocery store analogy.
That's a great analogy.
About stocking the shelves for the hurricane as opposed to keeping them stocked all the time.
Yeah, I just, in fairness, though, Devontae was a elite special number one.
Right, but who else did they have that was good? Tell me.
Randall Cobb? You didn't think Randall Cobb's a good player?
Not at the point that Alan he was Lazard. When he came back.
Alan Lazard got a $10 million a year contract. Is he not a good
How
player?
Was he last year?
He went very good. Aaron Rodgers wasn't there. And you said Jordy Nelson would still be playing had Aaron Rodgers not broke his collarbone.
I agree
so
with that.
So all of these things are variables, and there's a difference to it, but why I'm so intrigued is because I think we all get caught up in having that guy and the fantasy footballization of sport where I want to know who's going to get it. We'll have our fantasy father-son draft. I think we're going to do it again. I don't know where Green Bay would fall because I don't know who I would start. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to start Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love. I don't know who I'm starting at wideout. Who's going to be the big number getter?
Week to week.
No clue. Is that a good thing for the team? Yes. But I still believe, and this is where I keep going back and forth on it, having that guy that the Baltimore Ravens or Wink Martindale or whomever's the defensive coordinator is looking like, God, how on earth are we going to stop 17? How on earth are we going to stop 13? How on earth are we going to have to cover 9 because he's too gosh darn fast? Those are questions I want coordinators to have to answer. And when you have an ensemble that are all good, it puts a lot of pressure on. But does it put more pressure than if Calvin Johnson or Jordy Nelson in his heyday or Devontae Adams? I still think you want that. And by the way, I think you're going to see someone emerge that is going to be viewed that way. And then that makes everybody else's job going to be easier getting open. And we saw that the other night against Cleveland when they were forced to match up Wicks on a safety. And it was like stealing, you know, throwing a 65-yard tutter.
So, I want to move on. I understand people get frustrated with all this wide receiver talk. But to your point, for fantasy football owners and for opposing defensive coordinators, I think they both have the same problem. they don't know who they really have to worry about. And while having elite talent that draws that attention, you know, the other question I have is, if a guy gets on a roll here, like I look at Romeo Doubs in the red zone, and if I was a defensive coordinator, I would focus my coverage on him because that seems to be his area where there's a lot of comfort between him and the quarterback. He obviously gets more, he got more targets there than anybody else on the roster in the red zone last year. So maybe there's areas of the field where he would concern me more, but there is no one that gets the Wink Martindale Devontae treatment. I would also add, though, that when you have a guy like that, and I think this was your point, is that what does that do for the other guys? If they're paying that much attention to the one guy, then these other guys are going to have a chance to really and truly feast. And if that's the air quotes drawback to having everyone being largely evenly matched, I'm still willing to deal with that. But if someone emerges and becomes a Devontae Adams type talent, I am not going to complain about that if I'm Matt LaFleur. I'm just not. Jesse,
nobody would care if you do. If you do get that's the beauty. That's it's up to you to figure that out, and it's going to be really interesting. This, you know, how much salary cap space the Packers have and what they have done in the past. I really think that Romeo Doubs' emergence and where he's at in his career, am I crazier? Who am I forgetting about? I think he will be extended in season at a very reasonable wide receiver rate and have him moving forward. And how will that change the dynamic in that locker room? I think he's next up.
I think
he is
going
to be your next
first.
Guy to get paid. What's that?
I think Zach Tom gets paid first.
Zach Tom's in his third year.
They're in the same draft class. They're in the same round.
Yeah. I think you might be right. All right. It's going to be a coin flip. But, yes, if I was Green Bay and Zach Tom is back, I would pay him and get out in front of this because that is
that
only
price
what,
tag is
what
gonna
Panay
go
Sewell got.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Tom's a stud. Pay that man his monies. Yeah, I actually agree with you.
Romeo Doubs, well, save that clip. Can you play that as a drop moving forward on a regular basis, Jesse, even when he doesn't agree? Romeo Doubs, the 132nd overall pick in 2022. Zach Tom, 8 picks later at 140. That's a hell of a fourth round right there by Goody.
Third round is always where he struggled, right?
Yeah, Sean Ryan was the third round pick that year. A year after Amari Rodgers. All right, I want to shift gears to the defense because that was another of the things that I was very curious about yesterday. I know it was something you were curious about, and Jesse skipped the meat raffle because he wanted to watch more of the defense. Because I want to know what people are viewing this defense as. Matt LaFleur got some questions about Devontae Wyatt, so I want to get to that. But we're not going to get to any of that until you tell us about what Johnson & Sons Paving has going on.
Oh, you know the 3R. Summer is here. But before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't scare your customers or your tenants with a bad parking lot. Connect with Johnson & Sons Paving today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
We'll talk about the Packers defense next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give them hell, time to hate, gonna live life to win.
emojis and number one wide receiver talk notwithstanding, to me, the biggest story coming out of that first preseason game, and we talked about it yesterday, Tausch, without Jesse, is how different the defense looks to me in terms of how they get upfield, right? And how much more aggressive they are and how they do a better job of swarming the football. They're not, again, I'm not claiming to know Joe Barry's defense in and out, but it did feel like a lot of times while they had the umbrella to prevent the big play, underneath they had guys running everywhere and there weren't a lot of people around the ball once it was caught by someone. And so they weren't able to close and get the guy down if somebody missed. And it looked to me like there was more of that. And so while they were vanilla and while they didn't use a lot of their playbook, I was looking for, from a reporter's standpoint, does it look different or does it look the same? Is their play style different? Because LaFleur talked so much about play style. Here is the question I asked LaFleur about that and his answer.
Matt, speaking of Wyatt, I know you said that Jeff's play sheet was pretty short, just to keep it simple. But you've talked so much about play style.
I think it was three calls.
So that's really short.
Just kidding. I mean, but it was very small call sheet, yes.
You've talked so much, though, since you hired him about play style, play style, play style. When you watch the way you guys played, even with the short call sheet, it looked like you could see the play style you were looking for. Did you feel the same way? And is that something that fans should be watching for as a continuation of
that? Yeah, I think, you know, the things that the players are in control of in terms of how they run to the ball and how physical they are at the point of attack, I thought that was on display. I thought it was really good. There's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. But one of the challenges to the guys is when we hit that pause button and guys are around the ball trying to take down the ball carrier, how many bodies are in the picture? And there were a lot of times where we saw 11 men in the frame. And that is, I think, good things will happen. We saw it in terms of even though they got a decent gain that first play of the second half on that screen play, the forced fumble that Evan Williams caused, there were a lot of hats running to the football, and that gives us a great opportunity at recovering the football, and that's exactly what happened.
I'm not picking on other previous defensive coordinators. Why is it different than in this system, though? You would think that you'd want...
It really isn't. I just think that, you know, any time... There's a lot of similarities, I would say, between our base defense and when we get into nickel, right? It's just the body changes who's in there, but the job responsibilities are very similar. So you're doing it over and over and over again. I think one of the challenges to a 34 defense is there's just a lot of different techniques that are used, and I think it can slow down just the play speed of a player because they're thinking a lot more. Whereas in our defense, whether it's base or nickel, I think that they're just used to doing a lot of the same things over and over and over again, and naturally it becomes just second nature, and then you can really focus on those little things that are a big deal in terms of just playing really good defense.
All right, Tausch, only one of us played 11 years in the NFL, so you tell me, when you're looking at play style and, more importantly, what he talked about there about doing the same things and the simplicity, is that a big deal? Like, when you hear him say that, you played when you were thinking, I'm guessing you were less effective than when you didn't have to think. And is that what will be the key for this defense?
So what you're trying to do as a coach for your players is feel really confident in what you're doing and then just go out and react to what you see. I can only say offensively, I always like to look at things kind of in my line of sight, because while you can see things like the center sees the whole field because he's in the middle of the field and he's looking for safeties, we all have our certain keys that we look to. as far as what's going to happen. And if you have three or four different things that you're looking for, you can't really focus in and just let it rip. So you want to try to compartmentalize, get an understanding, and then react to what you see. Defensively, I think the more stuff that you have in, and it can't just be, well, we're going to call the same stuff and we're just going to execute it better. Well, that's great, but it ain't going to be, you're not going to be successful doing that against really good quarterbacks because they're going to be better. So I guess the job for these guys is let's make sure we have our basic bedrock principles that we are going to live by. And you'll always hear coaches say, you get what you emphasize. And if you're emphasizing, you know, gap technique and all this other stuff, which is important, the biggest thing is you have to make sure you're demanding what you just heard Matt LaFleur talking about. And is it an indictment on the last staff for the fact that if you weren't seeing guys chase into the football net, that means you weren't asking them or demanding that of them? Because there have been plenty of defensive coordinators that have asked, every defensive coordinator I've ever heard is asked to rally to the football, to chase, because good things happen when you're doing that. It's been one game, but the big thing I think Matt LaFleur is really pounding is, I just want you to go play football and do it with just a bucket of fearless, just go. Don't sweat all the other things. And if you're going to make a mistake, make sure you're doing it full tilt. And as long as your basic bedrock is that, everything else can be figured out and done off of that. And I think that was the first step in what Halfley's doing. He is going to demand that. And when you have enough talent, if guys aren't doing it, they won't play. So if you're not going to chase and scrap and hustle to get to the football, and not in a, I'm going to make sure I show up on film, but I'm not really going, it's got to be relentless.
Right.
And when you do that, that's why those Tampa and Baltimore Ravens defenses, yes, they're physical and they had great players, but their units played that way. The Chicago Bears, there's a reason they created all those turnovers. You got the peanut punch, but you also had to have the Briggs and Urlacher chasing to the football. That's what has been lacking, and if you want to create more turnovers, that better be a part of your program.
All right, I want to shift gears to the offensive line before I head down to Ray Nitschke Field, because we've talked a lot about Sean Ryan and where he fits into the offensive line picture. We also spent a lot of time talking about the swing tackle. It's possible, I know this sounds crazy, but it does seem like Andre Dillard has maybe found his footing a little bit, and maybe they are trending in a direction where he could be their swing tackle. We'll talk about that, but I want to get to Sean Ryan. We'll do that coming up before we play trivia. I got something in the mail yesterday of a legal nature, and my first thought was, I'm not like in trouble, but my first thought was, need to ask
you're
David
perfect.
About this.
No, I thought you were suing somebody. You're not going
to
ever be in trouble.
You going to jury
you
duty?
Mistakes like that.
Not that either. Knock on wood, because I don't want to miss shows to decide someone's fate. But my first thought was, I got to ask David what I'm supposed to do about this, because he knows everything. I never want to call him though or text him, because I've been seriously injured in an accident. I hope I never have to ask for his advice when it comes to that. But it's good to know that he and Grubel offices are there if you ever do need that advice. So go to gruber-law.com to find out more about the firm, about the how One Call That's All got started, and why it's that simple if you need their help. Or just make the call. One Call That's All. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Grubel offices. One Call That's All. We'll get to the offensive line next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm willing to stay from dying.
field. Jordan Morgan, according to Matt LaFleur, will be limited today with that shoulder injury. But it wasn't severe enough that he is not able to return to practice. We'll see if he's able to actually play in Denver. That's another matter. But, Tausch, I find the ballad of Sean Ryan fascinating. Because
it's an interesting story.
He's supposed to still be competing with the first-round pick who announced that he wanted to be the left tackle upon arrival and has not taken a single, as confirmed by your old teammate, Adam Stenovich, has not taken a single solitary tackle snap all camp. Not one. And so Sean Ryan, who only Jacob Monk played more snaps than him in the game on Saturday, he played right guard. He played center. He not after breakfast. He played left guard. And I'm just trying to understand how that makes his ability to compete for the starting right guard job more complicated, because it sure feels to me, and I think you and I and Blue texted about this during the game, it sure feels to me like they've kind of got their minds made up. Jordan Morgan, when he's healthy, is the right guard, and we want to get Sean Ryan ready to back up at all three spots. And I asked Matt LaFleur about that yesterday, and here's how he spoke about Sean Ryan.
What did you find out maybe that you didn't already know, or what did you see when you watched the tape?
Yeah, there were some good clips of him. Just the play style that we want to have. And it's just, for him, I think he's still a young player in terms of the amount of reps that he's gotten in game action, and there's a lot of room for to continue to grow and just make sure. I think one of his biggest things that he's got to make sure that he's in charge of is just the conditioning component and making sure that he stays ahead of that, and because when he is fresh, he can be pretty good.
What do you make?
Whoa.
As someone who needs to be worried about his own conditioning, I admit.
Yeah, we all do. I'll be vomiting.
What do you make of that part of the answer?
Yeah, that is a big indictment.
Yes.
It's one thing for a first-year player, doesn't quite understand the tempo and what is expected of you as a pro. This is third year, correct? Or fourth? Third year
third,
for Sean Ryan.
Third year. Same draft as Romeo and Dobbs Zach Tom.
Yeah, I think, Belaga mentioned this last week, and tomorrow I'm sure he'll mention the same thing. It's consistency. And it's being able to be counted on that you're going to be playing your same playing style and who you are as a player in the third quarter as you will in the first. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously something that the coaches don't feel like they're getting from Sean Ryan, because I have to admit, I was very surprised when you saw how the reps were kind of distributed Saturday. This doesn't have the vibe of if Sean Ryan emerges, he's going to take that right guard spot. That is not the vibe I'm getting, because you want your players to be versatile, but your starters need to be starters and getting those reps. That needs to be you need to condition that, and you need to get the reps with those guys. And when you're moving guys around as much, especially Sean, it tells me we like him, but he basically is saying he's a dose guy. Like,
yes.
There's friends that you'll have around
it,
and you'll say, yeah, I'll take, it's good to hang out, but he's a dose guy. Like, I'm around him for a small dose, and then I'm good. That'd be like a tier four for Jesse, if I'm wanting to relay it in Jesse terms. Tier four, tier five.
You don't want to be a dose
guy. You don't want to be a dose guy when it comes to NFL football. You don't want to be, everything's perfect. You can go out and play. I want guys like Marco Blanken-Rivera who will bust their hand up and rip an MCL,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to give you everything you got. Grit. That's not what I heard from Matt LaFleur. And that, unfortunately, I do not like to get in the business of getting after players. That's what I'm hearing from their coaches that are there every day saying it. And you're never going to trust a guy that you feel that way about. Now, can that change? Yes. But it takes a long time to change a perception. The perception that the coaches have of Sean Ryan, that was much more telling. And I'm surprised that didn't get the run that the vomit quote got.
You can't beat vomit, man. You can't.
You just heard a coach say that a third year player's conditioning isn't where it needs to be to count on him to be a starting football player in the NFL. That's what I heard. Tell me I'm crazy, but that's what I heard.
No,
and now a guy gets injured, and a guy that has never played guard, you feel better about him. Sean Ryan has played some really good football for this team.
He has.
Some really good football. He's a dose guy. And that's fine if you're looking for platooning and everything else. It's not what you want to have as an O-lineman is being a dose guy. Monk. Listening to what you heard about Monk ripping people's faces off and biting lips. And I don't know what the hell they're all saying. But
biting lips, yeah.
I think it was Butkus.
Bite your lips off. Yeah.
Butkus is talking about Monk. That's the kind of quotes I'd much rather be. I'd much rather be quoted as saying, "I want this guy is good. He is wanting to. He is ready to rip arms and just go." Then I don't know. He's conditioning. I don't know. He's a dose guy.
All right. Just for clarification purposes, if we were like real life friends in person instead of just doing the radio show together all the time in two different locations, I'd be a dose guy for you, wouldn't I be? I'd be one. I can admit it. I'd be a dose guy. I like Jason. I enjoy spending time with him, but he's a dose guy. Can't handle too much of him. Fair? Self-awareness points. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Okay, good. Yeah. How do you handle dose guys? And I don't want you to throw it because I know you've got a lot of friends. Everybody loves old T. I doubt that many of them have you on their dose guy list. But whether it's Hatch or Baby Fresh or the Big O.
Well, I'm going to say this. You don't golf with dose guys.
Like, because it's too
golfing
much.
Is a too no much. Dose situation. Because you're spending hours with people. Dose guys are, you see them at a party, and you say, hey, man, how's the family? How's it going? Oh, I'll catch up with you later.
And then you don't.
You don't golf with dose guys.
Dose guys can be in the other foursome if you have two foursomes that are going at Billy's going over there. We're good over here.
Yeah, you don't sit and have 10 Coors Lights and in a hotel lobby for 8 hours with dose guys. Dose guys, you say, oh, I'm going to head over
Which
to
guys?
Chipotle.
Dose and grab guys.
I'll catch up with you later. That's your dose guys.
Okay, good. This is as much as I may not have thoroughly enjoyed the complaining about how much gas was left in the tank, I am a huge fan of the dose guy topic. I love dose guys.
Old boy who's a great friend, he's not a dose guy. He's up in Door County. He's one of the reasons I go up there.
Okay.
He asked me a question yesterday. What's the deal? And not to Seinfeld.
What's the deal?
Where does Royce Newman fit? Why is it? It just he's not good enough. Like, where is he at when we're talking Packers O-line? Where is he?
This is going to sound.
He's not a dose guy. He's a no dose guy.
This is going to sound mean spirited, and he's a really nice fella. He feels like the guy that you're constantly trying to replace, and you just never can. Like you just can't. You can't quit him.
Who is that up? Who is that?
I gotta let me give some more thought to.
Okay.
I'm not. I don't have a friendship parallel. This is a football roster parallel.
Sure.
Like you know, I didn't personally enjoy Bill Schrader and covering him, but I always thought that for the years that he was in the mix here as a top starter or one of the top wide receivers, that they always wanted to find somebody better and they just didn't, or they just couldn't.
Okay.
In Royce's case, you know, I think they would like to have, and maybe Travis Glover takes his spot, the seventh round pick this year, or maybe they added enough guys in recent drafts that they move on from him. But it's almost as if, you know, this is a guy that we could put in there. He's not going to be good, but he's not going to be so terrible that he gets Love killed. So if he's our ninth or tenth offensive lineman on our roster, we're okay with that. But the fact that he started 16 games as a rookie,
yeah,
those days are
say,
long
that,
gone for him.
So you know what? He might be the Will Whitaker of offensive line, but Will didn't last as long as Royce.
Correct.
Will Whitaker started a lot of games. Royce Newman started a bunch of games, and then before playoffs, they bench him. And from that moment on, he's there. Like, there's no there. Like, what is he doing? Where is he at? Is he just going to continue to be an eighth or ninth guy that doesn't dress or that dresses but doesn't play? It was a good question, and I don't have an answer for Jim. I don't have an answer for him.
Yeah, I don't either. And we'll see if he still, you know, he does kind of have a nine lives kind of feel to him that you just can't ever, you can't get rid of him. Like, he just survives. And maybe that'll happen again this year. Maybe he comes to the end of the line, but that is an interesting question. But again, they are trying to figure it out.
Have you asked Steno or anybody, like, what's – and I would actually enjoy this.
Here's the problem.
You don't say – you do it on the side. You don't do this.
And we don't ever get that anymore. That's what sucks. Because that's exact. I would like to ask Steno, and unless I see him at a girls' basketball game, I'm not going to ever get to ask, hey, what's the deal with Royce Newman? I'm never going to get to ask him.
How's his daughter? Tall? Is she a post, or what does she play?
One of my favorite pictures of Sydney playing basketball was their defensive switch that left her trying to guard Steno's daughter. And Steno's daughter is probably close to 6 feet, if she's not already there, as an eighth grader. And Sydney just surpassed the 5 foot mark. So it was a bit of a matchup problem. Kind of
so
like
did
Dontavian.
They post Sydney up, or what did she do?
Sid's a defender who doesn't back down from anybody. She did pretty good denying
tough.
The ball.
She fouled her, didn't she?
Perfect parenting, so I understand that.
Knew there was a mismatch, just
perfect
took the
parenting.
Foul.
Well, first off, Steno's daughter's got to say, listen, you switched. First off, poor coaching. You don't have a 6 footer on a 5 footer. Post up Sid. Take her to the post, man. Back her down like Magic Johnson did with Zeke and go get a layup. Who's coaching Steno's kids' team? What the hell's going on there?
I don't know. What I do know is while Sydney does not, nor Maddie, does not
I bet
have
you
perfect...
she's. I bet you she's like reaching around trying to scrap and steal the ball. And I bet she, you know, she's strong with the core, so she's locked in. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a foot is – that's enormous in basketball terms.
Yeah, it's a big difference. They do not have perfect parents. They are not perfect children. But we do have a perfect week going in trivia, thanks to Dan and Brothertown. And now the time has come to
we'll
play
trivia.
We'll
do our best to stop that.
Jesse, it's Tuesday. Is it Badgers Trivia Tuesday already?
It sure is. We brought it back last week. Why not run it again? Badgers Trivia Tuesday today.
All right. What caller would you like?
I'm still waiting for Riley to tell me where they're ranked in this week's AP poll from what I heard yesterday. Let's do caller.
Was that not unbelievable? That was one of my favorite SportsCenter moments of all time. He is telling you to wait for an update on an update. I never heard of it. It was absolutely glorious. I jump back on. I'm getting stuck under bridges. Boats are flying around. And I'm listening to, oh, boy. I'm like, God, I can't wait to hear if the Badgers are ranked. And he says, I have an update on an update. And I just was amazed at that set of sequence. I really was.
If you don't have the information, then it ceases to be an update.
You don't have to bring it up. Yes. Like, it'd be like Jason reporting something, but he doesn't have the report yet.
That's what happened.
My report in today's State Journal is I will have a great article in Saturday's State Journal.
Exactly.
Well, in fairness, he does do that. He does brave about his Sunday article. Oh, I'm writing about that for the Sunday paper.
Let's do caller 13.
Lucky number 13, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 13 will play Wildy and Tausch trivia without me next. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
With you, but no Wildy, as he's on his way to share observations coincidentally at the same time as Packers training camp practice is going on as they get set for preseason game number 2 this weekend against the Denver Broncos. So it's Jesse and Tausch for right now on a Badgers Trivia Tuesday for Wildy and Tausch Trivia. We welcome in today's contestant, Dwayne, in a big truck. Dwayne, welcome to Wildy and Tausch Trivia. How you doing?
Doing awesome.
He claims it's a bigger truck than Mark in a truck's truck, but have you ever even met Mark in a truck to know how big his truck is?
Well, he says it's a beer truck, so they can't be real big.
Fair enough. Dwayne, how well versed are you on the Badgers?
We're going to find out, aren't we?
We sure are. We sure are. Tausch, you have question number 1 on Badgers Trivia Tuesday.
All right, Dwayne. Currently competing for the starting job with Miami transfer Tyler Van Dyke, what is the name of Wisconsin Badgers quarterback who started 3 games last year when Tanner Mordecai was out due to an injury? Is it Braden Locke, Caden Key, or Aiden O'Combination?
B. We'll go with B.
And I see what you did there, Jesse. Yeah, Lock and Key?
Lock, Key, and Combination were the 3 answers.
That's
it was
pretty good.
Braden Locke, freshman last year. He started a couple of games for the Badgers after Tanner Mordecai went down. He is competing for the starting job, although it does sound like Tyler Van Dyke is in the driver's seat to win that job, it sounds like, this week. Question number 2, Dwayne, let's get you back on board here. Over Labor Day weekend, a couple of weeks away, the Wisconsin Badgers volleyball team will play 2 highly anticipated nationally televised games against fellow national powerhouses Texas and Stanford at which of these venues? Where's Badger volleyball playing Texas and Stanford Labor Day weekend? Ford Field in Detroit, Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, or Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis?
Let's go in Milwaukee.
On the board. There he is. Dwayne came
Jesse,
to play.
Jesse, you going to that? That's going to be what a weekend of volleyball. Are you going to head down to that as where the home of Wisconsin volleyball?
You can hear Wisconsin Badgers volleyball all season long on 620 WTMJ and 100.5 ESPN Madison and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. I believe at least one of the days I'll be down there. Monday looking like a pretty good day for a big party to take place outside of Fiserv Forum. So the Texas game will be huge Sunday, but the Stanford one will be good too.
Yeah, Texas will be Sunday. What time is that? I'll talk to you off air about that. All right, last one. How many teams on the Wisconsin Badgers 2024 schedule have opened the college football season in the AP Top 10? Wow.
And if you want to phone a friend and call Riley Yauch, we can see what we can do.
All right, Dwayne. Is it 3, 4, or 5 teams in the Top 10 that Wisconsin plays against?
We're going to go with 5.
He answered very confidently.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be right until I saw what's highlighted.
So, Michigan.
3.
Michigan is in the top 10. Ohio State is in the top 10, but they are not on the Badgers schedule. The three that are Alabama, Penn State, and Oregon. All AP top 10 teams. Three is the correct answer, as Tausch said. Dwayne, you got one of the three questions right. I don't know if we have ever gotten just the middle question right in Wilde and Tausch trivia.
Might be.
That one might be more rare than getting only the third question right. Mm-hmm. So, Dwayne, you get two entries into the drawing on Friday for the ESPN Wisconsin prize pack. Thanks for playing. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you. Have fun with your truck. Oh, he hung up already. Dwayne wanted to get out of here.
He's had enough.
I guess so. We crushed his hopes and dreams, crushed the perfect week. And
well,
he,
that last question
out.
Was hard.
Was a tough
the
one.
The last question was tough.
Was a tough one. Too bad.
You
That's
know what's
the way
not tough,
sometimes.
Jesse? When what? You have to figure out what you want to do with your bathroom.
Ah,
it's
yes.
not a tough. Been telling you for 2 years now. Now is the time to beat the heat with a refreshing new shower or bath. From our friends at Kohler Services, family-owned. 150 years Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, you get zero interest financing for 12 months and a free shower door. A free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Again, that is a free shower door. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. And as always, you have fast, professional installation is always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
The Green Bay Packers back at practice as they get set for preseason game number 2 against the Denver Broncos. Jason Wilde back to Wilde and Tausch coming up in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.